Hello, and welcome to Bridging the Gap by the Fashion Museum. Today, we're talking to one of the leaders in the men's fashion space. He has done so much work within the fashion industry of Africa and is known globally as a renowned fashion designer who is specifically known for his royal designs. Today, we will be talking to the one and only Ugo Moyen. Listen on our conversations today and see how you can have insights on how to be a successful business owner. Thank you. Hello, Ugo Moyen. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure having you come to join us. You're fully aware of what it is that we do at Bridging the Gap. Essentially, what we do is we try to talk to icons such as yourself in the fashion industry who have been in the industry for over 10 plus years to kind of spotlight or highlight some of the highlights that they've had within their career, some of the challenges that they've also had, and just to kind of help people understand what it is that they need to do in order to succeed if they're thinking about starting a career within the fashion industry or business in general. So we look forward to having those interesting conversations with you today.
Thank you very much. It's an honor. Thank you.
Awesome. So let's go straight into it. Okay. So today, I know who Ugo Moyen is. A lot of people that are interested in fashion or aware of fashion know who Ugo Moyen is. But for the novice that is not aware of who you are, do you mind giving us an idea of who you are and what it is that you've done over the years? So who is Ugo Moyen and what is the brand Ugo Moyen?
Okay. My name is Ugo Chukwu Moyen. I'm the creative director of Ugo Moyen, which is a fashion company in Nigeria, right? And I've been in this business of fashion for, I think, over 20 years.
Wow.
Yes, if I'm correct, over 20 years since my university days. I remember my first fashion show when I was in the university. I had, and funny enough, that's the only time I've ever done over 50 pieces on the runway. But that was when I was in the university. Yes, I was in my year two.
That is crazy.
Yes, I was in my year two. That was my, and that time my name wasn't Ugo Moyen. The brand name wasn't Ugo Moyen.
What was it then?
It was CUC Fashion. CIUCI Fashion. So CUC was Chukwuka Isioma Ugo Chukwu Chiemele Morgan, and Ifeoma, the names of my first letters of my siblings.
Oh, nice.
You know. So it was first CUC Fashion. Then later it became U Gordon. When I finished university, it became U Gordon. Mm. Then later it evolved to Ugo Moyen. And that's when it caught fire.
Wow. So the moment you used your actual name.
Yeah. So we've been doing this, we've been in this journey for quite a long time. You know, we've gone through every different stage in this whole process of building a successful fashion brand. You know, I remember how I even knew that this was what I was supposed to do. Because before then, I mean, my mom was in fashion.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom was in fashion.
So it's in your blood.
It's in the blood. It's very much in the blood. My mom was in fashion. Wow. Her fashion business at the time was Polygracia Creation.
Whoa.
Which was, my dad's name was Paul. My mom's name is Grace.
Oh, nice.
So it was called Polygracia.
Oh, so emerged.
I mean, at some point the business went under because they separated and, So I remember being in school and reading. I was trying to figure out what I was supposed to do in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're trying to figure out. I'm in school studying business administration, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this business administration that I'm studying, I'm only studying it because I wanted to be a businessman like my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I wasn't sure if that's what I really wanted to do. I went to a Christian school, so in that school is where you hear them talking about purpose, your vision, this, that. They're always talking about it all the time. And I'm like, okay, this purpose thing is really very important. I need to start finding what my purpose is.
Mm.
And that was how I started reading books and different things. You know, there was a book I read at the time, was Understanding Vision.
Mm.
You know, so this was my year two. And I started realizing that your purpose, what God has called you to do, is tied to your gift that He has put in you.
Wow.
You know, so your gift, your talent, every is tied to it. So, in other words, a gift is something that you have that happens to you, that you do naturally without breaking a sweat, even when everybody is really struggling with it.
Mm.
It just happens and you're wondering that why? And what's the big deal? Why are they making what I've done look like a big deal? But it's because you're gifted in that thing. God has given you that gift, right? So I started reading books and trying to understand what this is. And it was clear after some time that, okay, well, when I was in secondary school, I used to draw a lot. I used to paint. I'm an artist. But I never saw myself painting for a living or drawing because there was no glory in it at the time. You know, think about it. What art was like back in the day, it's not what it is today. Mm. What it is today is, someone can draw with pencil now and sell it for over $1 million or $2 million, $3 million, right?
Mm.
But that time, you draw and you just put your phone number. I'll hang it on the road somewhere, that call, you know?
Mm.
So in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be an artist because my dad was a businessman and he was making money.
Mm.
Why would I not be an artist and be collecting kobo?
Mm.
You know, that was the mindset. So I said, no, that instead I'll be a businessman like my father. So that's what made me study business admin in school.
Mm.
That's what, you know, I didn't know that at the end of the day, it will still come to fashion. Mm. You know, I didn't know that because in my mind, drawing, sketching, painting, all was just being an artist, you know. I didn't know that there was anything like designing clothes.
Mm.
It was never in my, you know, and it wasn't popular at the time. You know, this is around 1999, you know, it was never popular. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I can't do this I can't be drawing and there was no glory in it. Now, I mean, fast forward to when I was in university, I now started reading books. I now started understanding vision. I started understanding these gifts that God has given to us, these talents.
Mm.
You know the story of the talents. You know, I started understanding everything, that God can't give you something and you just hide it like this. And you just and keep it and expect it to multiply. You know, so I started understanding all these things that I knew. Then I'm now in school. I'm looking at people, you know, looking at what they're wearing. I'll just get a paper. I'll just say, this thing that this guy is doing, I'll just draw it. But to do, I mean, nice. I'll do my own
version of it.
That's how it started, though.
Wow.
That was how it started. So I started sketching stuff in school. I'll see people wearing stuff. I'll see the colors. I'll call them and say, this thing you're wearing, it would have been better if you did it like this. That's how it started. Then I'd already done a couple of designs in school. Then I went home one day and I told my mom that, man, mommy, do you still have access to any of your tailors? And she said, yes, she does. And I said, it would be nice to, can I have their contacts? I called a couple of them. I invited them to my mom's house. My mom had some of her machines still around. I called her and I said, okay, you know what? Cool. Brought out the machines, some of those old machines, brought them out. And I told them that, look, I would like for us to have a lot of designs that I'm coming up with. I would like for us to bring it to reality.
Mm.
So this was how we actually started making clothes.
Wow.
So I'll make clothes. But one thing from day one, I made up my mind to do was that I was going to start making these clothes, right? But the quality of what I was going to do, I was not going to no mediocre level stuff.
Mm.
Because I'm actually a perfectionist and I've been like that since I was in secondary school.
Mm.
you know, it might, some people think it's a problem, but it's okay. That's who we are, yeah. You know. Even when I was in secondary school, I remember I had school mothers that, I had plenty of girls that wanted to be my school mothers. You know why?
So that you'd make clothes for them?
No, I wasn't making clothes in school, but because I was just too clean.
Oh, wow.
I was just too neat. My gaiters of my, you know, so even anything I'm doing, if I decide to clean this floor now.
You see the difference.
Mm. I'm very, very, you know. So when I was in school, that was, it also put me in a serious problem because I was too clean. All the seniors in school, instead of me to be reading in school during night prep, they would give me all their clothes to wash and iron. So my mates are reading, I'm in the laundry room ironing clothes. I mean, that was that way, you know?
Yeah.
So that was how I found myself in and this whole thing. I remember doing the fashion school, being a part of fashion show in school. Then, of course, when I graduated, I worked a bit for a consulting company, a strategy consulting company. Then, at some point, I had to resign. I said, man, I want to go to fashion school. They were not really happy with me at the time, man, but I said, this thing, they burned me for my body.
Mm.
You know, I needed to, because my heart wasn't there. I was there, but my heart wasn't there. So I left, and I didn't have money. I had like 40K.
Mm.
I used that. I was staying in Ikoyi. My mom's house was in Antony. I moved back to Antony. I told my mom that, please, this person, this is what I want to do. I want to really focus on these things, but I need to learn the whole process of making clothes and everything.
Mm.
She now said, okay, there's somebody she's going to introduce me to, the one of the people that taught her in her own time.
Wow.
She now gave me the guy's number. I now went to meet him. He now said, there's someone he would introduce me to. Another person that who is still very involved and is the president of Fashion Designers Association of Nigeria.
Oh, nice.
He does shows, he does, and he has a fashion school. So I went there and I told him that, sir, this is all I have, or this, that. You know, because what I was doing, the price was way more than what I was offering to pay him, what I had to pay him. And I said, don't worry. The way he's seeing me, that he's sure. That before I finish, I would have made the money.
Wow.
His balance and paid him.
So okay. Even he had the faith. He must have had like and serious passion. Yeah.
Truly, I didn't even wait to graduate. I left immediately. I felt it was time to leave because when I was there, I was in school with a lot of people that were very comfortable. As opposed to me, that was burning on my inside.
Mm.
So you had a lot of women that are there because out of boredom of not, I mean, they just tell their husband, darling, I want to go to fashion
school. Just something to find just to do.
Yeah. Mm. But for me, that wasn't the case. My own, I had a vision. I saw this thing. Mm. I saw it from day one and I needed to move.
Yeah.
So while they are doing, while all starting together, learning how to sew straight lines, learning how to fix and put your darts, learning how to fix your zipper, while they are taking a whole 2 days, 3 days, I'm done with it in one day and I'm waiting and I'm not doing anything.
Wow.
Before you know, the owner of the school just say, you know what? You can't be slowing this guy down. And once he finishes, let him move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to all be doing it together.
Yeah.
So the guy actually made sure that things were just flowing for me.
That's amazing.
You know. And at that time I was trained on dressmaking, making clothes for women.
Wow.
You know, so I started making clothes for women, you know, and I said I wanted to make for the HNIs strictly. Started making clothes for women. I was in Antony Village, you know, I had a machine in my room, in my mom's house, you know, and most majority of my clients were on the island. I would go on Third Mainland, waste all my whole day in traffic going to meet the kind of client I want. And come back, all my day is gone. And it wasn't sustainable because in as much as they used to pay me for every visit, it wasn't just sustainable. So at some point I had to, one day, one of the my clients asked me, don't you make clothes for men? And this, that, that. Because, you know, women, when you're making their clothes, no matter whether doing pattern or, you know, there's always, I mean, sometimes there's an issue.
Mm.
And it was tough for me because I'm on the mainland. I have to go on the bridge, go to make and do the fitting for these women because, in quote, they're too busy to come to me.
Mm.
I have to do the fitting. They pay me for my inconveniences, but it was still not worth it.
Yeah.
Then when you now get there, you do your, you try to fit the clothes. Something will go wrong because maybe the bra they are wearing for the fitting was different from the bra they used the day you were taking the measurements.
So, yeah, so there's a difference. Yeah.
So in my eyes, it's affecting my eyes when it wasn't the thing is not exactly. Yeah. And because of my, because I'm a perfectionist, I'll have to go back. And once it wasn't just cool for me.
Yeah.
So one day, one of the ladies now asked me, don't you make for men? I was like, can you make something for my husband? And I said, okay, no problem, let me try. That's how I made for the guy. It was, he fitted one time. There was no issue, no. I just said, Kai.
This is it.
I said, see, all the while, I don't go. See, all my stress of going up and down. Yeah. I just made for this guy now.
No bam, issues. No issues. One time.
You know, because before you collect your money for the final dress, you would have gone there. You do fit. I said, no. It's not working for me, you know.
Wow.
And I started, you know, and in my mind, I was like, okay. I said, then that's how I started. That's how I moved from making clothes for women to men.
To men. Wow.
I just started reducing the amount of women I was making clothes for. And I was taking more male jobs. And I was making clothes for myself. And I was, you know, so when people see that, okay, and I
still. Can you make this for me?
Yeah. You know, so that was how it was. And for me, because I believe so much in organic growth, you know, because of, you know what it is now, I could have collected money from people too, but I wanted to experience every detail of the business. Because imagine when you're in level one and you go to level two, there's double promotion, don't get me wrong. Well, not the one that you start from level one and you go to level eight. When level three challenges comes, how do you handle it?
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to make sure I learned everything. So, and I won't lie to you, there's been a lot. There's been a lot of, I remember my first office was in fact, I was working out of someone's shop in a place called Lady Lag. Then I now got enough money to rent a flat in Antony Village. Then when I rented it, after I left Antony Village, I moved to Lekki around Igbuefo. If I tell you the kind of things that this I have seen in this business is ridiculous. Good and bad. The bad one, if I say it on this,
please, that's the purpose. You know, that's the purpose of this having these conversations, right? Because very often people look at successful brand owners, but they don't understand all the challenges that they face. They don't understand that it's not an overnight success. So there are challenges, but it's a matter of your mindset and making sure that you do the right things to overcome those challenges, right? So it's like achieving success in spite of those challenges, right? So please, by all means, spill all the beans so that people that are interested in starting their own businesses can have an idea of some of the challenges that they can try to avoid or that they might have to overcome at some point in their business.
That sounds serious. You know, so it's been, I mean, really, in general, it has been an interesting journey for me. So I even remember, and for me, one of the things I thought about, even when I was starting my, you know, I told you that the name was evolving from this. Yeah.
So you said it was when it became, when you changed it to Ugomoyen that it took off?
No. It had always, the honest truth is that I said it caught fire.
Oh, it caught fire.
That was when everybody kind of
like
knew who I was. But it took off from day one.
So what does Ugomoyen mean?
Ugomoyen.
Yes.
Ugomonye, Ugochukumonye is like God's crown. So there's something my mom says, Ugochukutumonye, Madwamanaya, means that the crown that God has placed on your head, that nobody can take it away.
Wow.
You know.
That's so powerful.
Yes. Until today, I did not even know. I didn't until today. Something happened to me today in this place with that way. You know, because I now went from CUC to Ugodin to Ugomonye. And when I went from to Ugomonye, I knew I wanted to focus. I wanted the whole world to know me for something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beauty of Africa. African royalty. So I said to myself that I want the whole world to see that we as Africans are royalty. We are the premium of the world.
Beautiful.
You know? So, and I said, what I'm selling to the whole world is royalty. Then, now, I never tied my name, the meaning of my name and what my mom used to say from day one to it until today, until here, now. I never tied it.
That's amazing.
Do you understand? So, yeah. I'm like, so it's actually very, very scary. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely, but you're literally living out your name, right? Like, Africans believe and understand that names are very powerful, and that's why Africans in general are very intentional about what they name their children, because whatever you name your child is what your child essentially ends up being. And, I mean, clearly it's evident that this is what's happening in your life, so it's actually beautiful to see.
It's scary, I won't lie to you, because I'd never actually thought about it. Everything has just been flowing, you know. But now coming this question, and I'm just, you know, I'm saying every time my mom will say, Ugochukutumonye, Madwamanaya, I'm like, that the crown that God has put on your head, nobody can remove it. So as you see me, there's a crown on my head, right? You need spiritual eyes. There is actually a crown on my head. But do you understand what I'm saying? People. And it's no joke, for real. And now I've been preaching this gospel of African royalty since. But I didn't even realize
that your name was tied,
you know. So I'm like, interesting, you know. So it's everything is actually supposed to be, you know, and this is just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing.
So I got an award recently.
Congratulations.
It was a lifetime achievement award.
Whoa, that's a big deal. No, congratulations.
No. So when I was giving my speech, I'm getting a lifetime achievement award.
It's making me look, you're too young, right? Like there's still too much to accomplish. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I was like, thank you for the award. However, I think
I still have more to give.
I'm just getting started, man. Right. You know, so when you say Lifetime Achievement Award, it's like, this guy has done, I'm now an OG. And I've done every, as, like I'm on my exits, I'm exiting.
Yeah.
You know, so like, oh, thank you guys. But if you guys think I'm done, you guys don't even, I'm just getting started. I mean, you guys don't even know what's coming.
That's amazing. You know? That's amazing. And I mean, obviously, that speaks to innovation, right? As a creative, like for you to even still be relevant today after being in the industry for over 20 years is a pretty big deal. So what are some of the things that you feel like you've done to keep yourself relevant in the industry? What are some innovative things that you've done to keep yourself relevant?
Mainly you said, you know, innovate, being innovative. There's something I always tell everybody. As a fashion designer, you are like God Almighty in terms of creation. God is a creative. You, as a creative, you're supposed to be creating things. Now, we are creators. God needs us on the earth to help him create things, to make sure the world is looking beautiful. And do you understand? So we are co-creators with God, right? I'm not comparing us with Almighty God, but I'm just trying to for you to understand where I'm coming from. Use this.
That we're creators.
Yeah, we're creators.
Mm-hmm, as designers.
So as a designer, you need to actually create.
Mm.
Because there's something that happens in Nigeria is that everyone calls themselves designers, but really and truly they do not create.
Mm.
So when you now create something, it looks like you have done magic.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And the honest truth is that I call myself, in fact, there was a time I used to call myself the chief innovative strategist or the chief innovator of, because I keep innovating stuff, you know, and keep creating, because there's no way. As a creative person, if you're not creating, like you're dying.
Mm. Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, as a creative, it is... How would I explain this thing to you? I'm trying to look for the exact... It's... So, if you're not creating, you are actually... There's an issue. Because I've had many issues. Because you know me, I'm an innovator. I mean, if you look at the different people that have created stuff in this life to make this world a better place, imagine if they stuck to the tradition and say, no, this is the way things have always been.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a lot of people even frown at some of the things I've done. Even the reality, the famous Agbada.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, no, this is not our... Say what? I always say, we're not here to change the culture, we are redefining it.
Yeah.
You know, things cannot, if not, there's no, we don't have any purpose in this world. Mm. If we cannot innovate from what has been existing. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And these things were not existing before. Right. Somehow it happened. You know, why can't we create our own? And why can't we build on what is existing without losing the essence of the culture?
Mm.
You know, so we cannot just say, one day I was called upon to be a judge at one of these fashion things that were talking about some kind of embroidery, and you know, so I was there and they told me to come and announce the winner, and I said I couldn't.
Mm.
Because the reason why I couldn't announce the winner, because quite frankly, I didn't feel there was anything unique about what they had done. I wasn't inspired.
Mm.
I was just there. Because I was just honoring the people who invited me. Mm. So I said someone else should announce the winner. Because if I understand it's a traditional style of doing this, but even in that traditional way, you can change the pattern of these things.
Yeah.
You can change the pattern. So people don't want to actually think outside the box, they just want to follow.
Mm.
So for example, this same Agbada thing that we were talking about. What happened with it? I said to myself, Agbada is too big. It's very, 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 the sleeves are very flamboyant. It's hard to manage.
So I'm sure the weight as well, right?
Yeah, it's hard to manage. Even sometimes when you're trying to wear it over your head, you wear the sleeves, you know, before you try to figure it
the
out.
Neck, yeah.
I have issues with it because I don't know how to manage it.
Mm.
So we as creatives, me as a fashion designer, one of the things I also say to people is that I am also a solution provider.
Yeah.
You know, so I look for ways to make your life better.
Mm.
And that was why I thought about it. I said, okay, is there a way we can even rearrange the sleeves in such a way, maybe kind of structure it and, you know, and also even to stop having that issue of trying to just wear it on and just put a clasp.
Yeah.
And that was it. I tried to come up with a solution for Agbada wearers. You know, and that was it really, you know. So every time it's how come I'm still on that?
Yeah.
Because I keep trying to innovate.
That's amazing. And that's very well said. Yeah. So you're just talking about inspiration. What are some of the things that you get inspiration from, or how do you capture what next you want to implement into your designs?
I don't want to sound spiritual. But in fact, let me just say a few things. I've heard many interesting stories about how people get inspired or where they go to for inspiration. I've done everything I've heard other people say. And every time I try to do all those fancy things, it never works. You know, go to the beach, you know, go to waterfall, you know, all those things. So I'm like, is it that these people are all washing? You know, all these people are just giving us, you know, but I guess things happen to people in different ways, you know? So there was even a time I traveled to one of these exotic places and I was trying to get inspired. I went, you see the place I stayed in. Oh my goodness. If inspiration they drop, it would have dropped that day. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After spending a few days, 7 days and nothing, I said, man, and I was supposed to be preparing for a collection. I said, man, I had to cut my trip short to come back to Nigeria. And as I got back to Nigeria, I went to Yaba Market. And while I was in the market, in the middle of the hustle and bustle of that whole market, I'll stop at someone's shop. I said, please, you have a paper? I get the paper. I'll just draw. Whoa. You understand what I'm saying? So it happens to me at different times. So sometimes I can even be eating in a restaurant. In fact, this is my last collection. 4 of the pieces was done in one day in a restaurant.
Wow.
Yes.
You mean the sketches? The
ideas dropped while I was in the restaurant.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, 4 of the pieces in that collection, while I was in the restaurant, so I just took my phone out and I said, then while I was doing it, the person that was at the restaurant having dinner with started videoing me while I was doing it. I didn't even know.
Wow.
But I just zoned out, you know, and, you know, so, and again, for me, like I always tell, it's easy to be a star in Africa and in the world today. And I'll tell you why it's easy to be a star in Africa and in the world today. It's easy to be a star in Africa because people, I think we came late in terms of in the fashion. In terms of building the fashion industry. We're coming late, but this is the best time to actually have come. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because now, the creative industry in the West or in any other part of the country or in the world, they understand that you need to create. In Nigeria, we're just realizing that we can actually produce and we can actually create our own things. And because what we've been used to is following what has been set. You know, so when I was starting my business, I have friends in different parts of the world who just started fashion too at the same time as when I started. And now where they are today is nothing close to where anyone is, right? And the way they think, the way their mind works is very different. They know they need to create designs for each season and they need to create something new. But what we were used to is just go and sew, go and shokoto, go and sew this, go and sew that. If you check out the ENVCA, you know, it's an unbelievable fashion show. That's, I don't think in terms of what you see on that during that show is incredible. No show in the world can compete in terms of fashion with the ANVC, and I'm not joking about it.
Wow.
It's insane.
What sets it apart?
Because we just woke up. We just woke up, really. We just realized that we can actually create. So now when you create, because everybody is not creating, a lot of people are just following. So when you really create now, a lot of people are just producing what has been created. So when you create now, it's like a star. Wow, something just happened. But we all can actually think and create. You know, so that's why we're fashion designers. You actually need to actually think. So we are just coming to that realization. And that's the honest truth. You know, I remember, I mean, if you think about it, backtrack. Let's talk about men's fashion. What were you seeing back in the day for a very long time until recent years?
Absolutely. To be completely honest. Yes. It's like the same design.
It's the same thing. We're just following
a trend.
What has been
done in fashion.
Yes, so we did not know that this industry existed to actually create for fashion. And now, I said there's no better time than now.
Yeah.
Do you know what makes it best time? Because we are just realizing and we have a lot on our inside.
To give, yeah.
To give. And that is when the West and every other part of the world, they are running out. Us, we are just getting started.
Whoa.
So now everybody in different parts of the world is looking at us now because they are saying, ah, Omo, these guys.
Something new.
Something new, something fresh. Something different. They've never seen before.
Amazing.
So that's the... This is the best time to actually have woken up. I'm happy to be in this era.
Yeah. Next level.
You know?
Amazing. Very well said. So I just want us to go through some of the challenges that you've had. And just a few. Let me limit it to just like three challenges that you've had to help the fashion business owner. And then we can later talk about, you know, obviously some of the success stories that you've had and why it was important to... you know, go through those things.
Basically, challenges is fabric sourcing materials.
Textiles.
Not even textile, things like the right kind of stay and the right kind of zippers. Do you understand? The right kind of
thread. Like the accessories?
The accessories, like the zippers and the stays and the, and even thread. The quality of thread.
Wow.
You know, because if you go to buy things from the market, you see that majority of the things that are in the market, I'm sure it's like that in many parts of the world too. You have a lot of inferior things you need to actually look before you see. Or you
good
need to make
quality stuff.
Yes, because the reason why is because people are not ready to, the sellers are not ready to invest in more money to buy those quality because they believe that if they buy that quality, they won't be able to sell it because people say, no,
it's too expensive.
So they will rather keep buying the inferior quality and flooding the market with the inferior quality than. So I had those issues with trying to even source those kind of materials. And it, of course, it affected me in my beginning stage until I started looking for ways to import these things. I wish there's a way we can even create our own everything.
Yeah,
really and truly, you know.
Eventually you'll get there.
Yes, yeah. Yes, for sure. You know, so you even have things like even consistency of color, when you're even talking about tie dyes and all that, consistency of colors and how these people can, if we say we want X amount of this, everything should be exactly the same thing.
Yeah, like a formula, so to speak, of how to do the mixtures for the colors.
Yes. Then we have, of course, staffing. Staffing is a never-ending
challenge
in this part of the world, really. You know, I remember one time that one of my tailors messed up a client's outfit. Yes, it was really bad. And I said to him that because the thing was delivered, quality control wasn't done. So everybody that was responsible for it was going to pay.
For that outfit?
Not even the outfit, just pay for the delivery, return of the outfit. Whatever amount it costs us to go and bring it, he'll pay for it. So... everybody that was connected to it, the monies were deducted. This one guy, you know what the guy did? I can't even say this on.
Still the beans.
This one guy, you know, said, I mean, it was very disgruntled. It was disgruntled and was upset. So. He didn't say anything. Everything just went as normal. This was during the weekend. On Monday, I got back to I was going to the office. I remember this was when my office was in Ibuefon. So I was going back to the office and I said that, okay. So, no, one of my tailors who normally is with the key to my office said that, sir, I can't find the key to your office where I normally keep it. With the key to my own personal office. He said, I can't find the key to your office where I normally keep it. I said, what do you mean you can't find the key to my office where you normally keep it?
Where could it be?
And I said, okay, I now went back home to get the specky. I don't know. When I got to the office, I don't know what told me to just... I went to the production floor and I was on the production floor just looking at things they were doing. Normally, I would have walked straight to my office. Mm. But I went to the production floor to look at what the things they were doing. And I gave the guy my key. I should go and take something from my office. Mm. Immediately opens the door. He just shouts, Jesus. And the guy shouts, Jesus. I'm like, what's going on? He says, sir. I was just saying, sir. So as I reached my office, I saw dump.
Wow.
Yes, there's a bench right across where people can sit on it and then on my chair in a nylon.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Then I was mad. So I called the police immediately because in my mind I was going to deal with this guy. There was nothing. So I didn't even know. I called the police immediately because I didn't even know. In my mind, I was just like,
How do you handle this situation?
Yeah, you know, I called the police. The police now said, you know, they now told me to come. So I went to the police station, I wrote a statement. One of the policemen now said, if you want to punish this guy, there's one insect that you get, there's one scripture that you read in the Bible or in the Quran, and you kill the insect, and the liquid that comes out of it, you just put it on the, you know, it's all this spooky stuff. I'm like, man, I beg. He said that once you do that and you read that this thing, that the guy will just be stooling till he dies. I said, that's not what I want. Wow. Man. I said, that's not what I want. So I now had to get the telcos involved in terms of where this guy was.
Okay. Oh, so, to track him because he wasn't there any longer. Okay.
So, I was going to teach this guy a lesson. I did not even know the extent of what he tried to do. So, one of my uncles, who is also a pastor, I told him to come to my office, please, that same day.
Hmm.
And the guy comes into my office. As he steps into my office, into the factory, as he steps in, the guy just said, Ugo, that whatever you're planning to do, stop it now. Because what happened was that I'd already called the telco, one of the telcos, and they were able to track the guy to somewhere in Okoko.
Mm.
So the plan was for the police to go and pick him up. So the guy said, Ugo, whatever you're planning to do, just stop it. That's what he said. And I'd already... But I was so bitter and so angry. So my pastor uncle now told me, he said, this guy went to someone. I mean, the guy was seeing the whole, like he was telling us what was going on or what happened.
Mm.
He went to meet some person. They did something. And this is the instruction that was given to the boy, told him what to do in order to harm me. That once I see that, I'm supposed to see that thing first.
Whoa.
Yes. So I was supposed to have entered my office first.
Because he knows your move, like yes. How you usually operate.
Well, that day, I went
to the floor first.
And I gave someone the key to go and pick up something from my office. So the plan was to somehow harm me, Ja.
Wow.
You know, and the guy said, whatever, I should just let God fight the battle for me. I should just leave it. And one day I was going, so that happened. I continued to live my life. No issues, no. So one day I was going to church on a Sunday. This is many years later. I was going to church on a Sunday. And I come out on the road. I saw this guy.
Wow.
Yes, he was walking. I saw this guy was walking. And when I saw him, I packed. And immediately I packed. The guy that I was with, he was with a guy. The guy just came and knelt down and told me that, that he knows who I am. And the guy has told him everything. I don't know what's going on with the guy. I don't know anything. I just said, but you see this life. You don't know where you'll meet tomorrow. No matter who you are, and on any level, try not to mess relationship up.
Don't burn bridges.
Yeah, don't burn bridges on any level at all. You know? And the guy saw me, even before then, he saw me one day in the market. The guy was rolling on the floor. He was rolling on the floor when he saw me in the market. Because the guy knew what he had done. And I've come out stronger. You know? So these things happened. There was even a time that I got to my office and I had one very expensive machine I bought at the time. They were trying to, my manager and someone else, I don't know what they were trying to do. You know, I traveled and I was communicating with them when I was away. And when I came back, I saw that they were trying to steal all my machines. I just got police at the same time. The same thing, I got police, carried every single person. Everybody straight to the station, every single person. So you can imagine having that kind of issue there. How do you now start again? Well, if you don't have some kind of foundation in it, it will be hard for you to build up back. So these things have happened to me a couple of times, and I'll still build up back. And my own kind of business is very, very, very tough because I'm a perfectionist. And apart from being a perfectionist, I do not do regular clothes. So people will rather come to you to just come and they're not even interested in the real experience. They are interested in your name to say that they have walked you to go. And once you say you have walked you to go, they go to somewhere else, and anybody that just hears this guy walked you to go money, they are willing to hire without even thinking. And I wish we had some kind of
a system
that can guide that, you know. Without even thinking twice, once they say you walked to go, quick, because you know, I have a nickname in the industry, they call me Mr. Perfection. You know?
So they know, obviously your tailors will be really good.
You know, the tailors will have to, for anybody that comes out of this guy, but meanwhile, these guys, majority of these guys are not baked. The honest truth is that to get things to even to the level is a lot of talking, a lot of, you know, back and forth, you know. So it's been tough, you know, but at the same time, we have some really great people that have worked with us.
Amazing.
Yes. And the honest truth is that the good overshadows the bad.
Yes.
You know.
And that's why you're still in the industry, yes, right?
The good overshadows the bad. And these guys are, a lot of them are young. It's encouraging when you, because to me, this is even like a ministry to me. When you see these young boys, they come and they don't know anything about it. Because I prefer to even work with younger guys because you can actually build them and mold them as opposed to people that are a lot older that you cannot. They might not fit into the culture of your organization, you know. So, and they've really done well and they've made me proud in many ways.
Amazing.
You know.
Amazing. So what would you say the ethos of Igomoya is?
As I said, we are trying to, or we will be the first global brand. We are going to be the first global brand from Africa. And in order to be the first global brand from Africa, you need, I mean, this is, it's not, I'm not doing business as usual. And you know, I said Africa were the premium of the world. The reason why we're the premium of the world is because everything was done by sweat and blood. And we don't value it. But the people outside know what that means. They know what it means to actually do stuff with sweat, by sweat and blood. The value they place on it is way better than what that is what we are used to, so it's hard. You know, so for me, I want people to see us and think of luxury African fashion and royalty.
Yeah, so very well said about, you know, some of the challenges that you have been able to overcome. So can you tell us about one success story or something that you're very proud that you've been able to achieve while you've been in the industry?
To be quite honest, I've not I'm not really, I don't want to sound like I'm proud. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't think I've achieved. You know. So I thank God for where God has taken me to. But I'm not satisfied, because what he showed me when I was starting is not what I'm seeing. So I don't want anything to even make me
feel like you've arrived.
I've done a couple of things that are remarkable, you know, but it's still, I mean, where we are going,
is
still,
okay. You know. So, but that's awesome. I mean, it's interesting that you don't see it that way, but us, we can see a lot of the things that you've done and where you've taken the brand to and what it's recognized for. And I know something that you had mentioned before was you talked about the initial brand and how, like, when you went to your mom, you had mentioned to her that you're interested in doing this fashion thing. And she had recommended that you speak to someone that taught her. But then when you got to him, he then said, you know what, I even have someone else that I would recommend. And it was at that point that you're able to learn, go to fashion school, and this person was able to identify that you're moving at a much faster pace than the other students. And, you know, it's that intentionality for me in terms of, clearly this person saw that, okay, this Ugo guy has a gift. He has some sort of special skill. So I'm going to mentor him and shadow him and see that he gets to where he needs to go to, right? So do you have any mentors that have kind of inspired you or have somehow instilled in you the right skills required for you to get to where you are and where it is that you're even still going to? What are things that motivate you, so to speak? Because mentorship is clearly important when it comes to being successful in business.
Yeah. So even the guy, the owner of the school, Nobel Afrique, we call him Nobel. He actually played a huge role in my life. Amazing. I won't lie.
Amazing. You know. Shout out to Mr. Nobel.
You know. Prince Oyefus, you know, so he actually played a huge role in my life. And I also remember a couple of other people. In fact, when I was about to start after university, you know, because after, you know, I said I did strategic consulting for a bit, then after that, you know, I was now, and now, you know, after I finished with him, I was about to start. I started asking questions. I wanted to know people that were relevant at the time. And I knew someone that had access to some guy, Vivid Imagination, and the person set up a meeting between me and him. And the guy told me a lot of things and opened my eyes to was seeing how things are being done, you know. So fast forward years after that, I also went to... When I started traveling for fashion, I went to a couple of people. To also, there was this guy that I would not lie, Martin Greenfield. He busted my head.
Yeah, how so?
Because the guy took me as a son. He just took me in, and this was, I had no prior anything. I just watched him on TV in Nigeria, and I entered plane, and I went to see him.
Wow.
You know.
You just saw him and you found out.
I was watching him on CNN and I was inspired by his story.
Wow.
You know, they call him the President's Tailor.
Wow.
And because I knew that, so there's something, there's a scripture that guides me. And that scripture is, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not mere men." So that is my whole life. That's my whole life. He shall stand before kings and not men. Men. Who are kings? Kings are captains of industries. Kings are royal fathers. Kings are, you know. And I want to stand before kings and not men. Men. Then I'm now seeing someone that they call the President's Tailor. President's Tailor. Presidents are kings. I said, okay, you know what? I need to meet this guy. So I jumped on a plane, not even thinking, you know, how this whole connection was going to happen. And I went to see him in New York, and a friend of mine, Demola, went to see him in New York, and that was it. And In fact, we almost didn't see him that day because we were not on any appointment. But after persistence, we were very, you know, we were not going to take no for an answer.
Wow.
You know, the more they tried to say, no, you're not on an appointment, we say, I'm sorry, we just came from Africa. We have to see him. He came from Africa. Yeah, yes, we did. We came all the way from Africa. Mm. Went up to the next floor, the same thing, until when they said we came all the way from Africa, they were literally just coming. Can't you? That was, this is us just coming from the airport. Yeah. I said, oh, wow. And then I went inside, brought the guy out. I mean, the guy came out maybe after like 7-10 minutes, came out. I hear you guys came all the way from Africa to see me. The guy was so... The guy couldn't believe that someone watched him in Africa and came from Africa to see him.
Wow.
But in my mind, all I wanted to do was to get from his wealth of experience because he's doing the things I want to do.
You're inspired.
Yes. His guy is doing the things I want to do. He's already doing it. And it doesn't make any sense when there are people that have gone ahead of you. Why do I have to start racking my brain of how to go from point A to point B when my...
There's someone that has already successfully done it.
Yeah. You just tell me, okay, this is what you need to do. Yeah. It's dumb to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone and you cannot...
Leverage that. Yes.
You know, so... This guy opened my eyes to so many things, even that when they make things as simple as an iron, it can be molded again, redone by you to fit exactly what you want to do.
Wow.
You know, the guy introduced me to everybody. He said, today, you're now my son from Africa.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know,
that's amazing. At
any time I'm in the US, I want to, you know, I was like, wow. So I was just trying to get and learn everything I needed to go on this journey.
That's amazing.
And, you know, it's been very good.
That's amazing. So clearly, mentorship is a really big deal. Finding the right people that have already successfully done what you've done.
It is.
And so as we begin to wrap up, do you have any...
And sometimes the right people might not be the guy at the top.
It might not be the
yes. Sometimes the right people might not be the guy at the top.
Mm.
Because sometimes the guy at the top might not have that time, but there are a lot of people
in between
that are the right people.
Mm.
So a lot of people always try to, do you understand? Yes. They miss it sometimes because they always, and that guy
is really busy.
You understand?
Yeah.
You know.
That makes sense. So what advice would you give to the business owner that has been in the industry but is thinking about they want to find a way to break even, or somebody that is even thinking about, you know, starting a business, you know, a fashion line, for example? Do you have any encouraging words that you can share with them?
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking of starting a fashion line, your whole business is dependent on who is your target market.
Mm.
Any business, once you're able to really define that target market, more than half of your problem has been solved, because once you know who your target market is, it will help you in your design, it will help you in your choice of fabric, it will help you in the quality of thread you use, it will help you in everything. Mm. So you cannot be saying that you want to make clothes for mass market and you're looking for the most expensive zipper to use or the most expensive thread.
Yes.
So it defines your business for you.
Mm.
Because if you're doing for the mass market, if there's a level, their spending power is not as much as what you're investing so much on the materials for.
Right.
So you need to actually balance it very well. So once you're able to define it, fantastic. And if you're doing business like me, who is into bespoke and haute couture and, you know, simple, just think. Like I used to say it as a joke before, that we are to go money, we don't just cut and sew.
Because
you know there's a saying in Nigeria, this one are just cut and sew.
Yeah.
We think, we cut, then we sew.
Mm.
You know, because that thinking part is very important. You having the right target, you understanding the needs of your target market is very, very crucial.
Critical. Yeah.
You know, and also just separate yourself and actually, if you want to have global relevance, don't think Western at all. Don't think Western at all, because like I used to make suits. You know, when I started going on this journey of African royalty, I just knew that these suits, we can't do it better than the Western people. Mm. Now that you see the whole world is looking at Africa, nobody's going to look at people making suits in Africa. Nobody is going to. That cannot even spark stir anything on the inside of anybody from the West, because we can never do it better than them.
This is true.
But our own is our own.
Do it and do it.
We can do it better than them. And they are bored of many things outside there. So now they are looking for more interesting things. So there's a way you can infuse the West and Africa together.
Mm.
So just think about it and come up with something that can flow. But don't forget West. Forget Western style. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Let's create something that they can wear, but is African. And everybody will jump on it.
Amazing. You know? So be authentically yourself is essentially what you're saying.
That is just be authentic.
Yeah. Amazing.
Be authentic. I remember going to the UK one day and I was wearing one of my suits, and when I stumbled into someone's factory production factory who makes clothes for a lot of these top people in the UK. Top brands in the UK, actually.
Mm.
And the guy told me that, man, you know, your suit is really nice, but you know, this is not the real thing. I was like, what do you mean it's not the real thing? Me, can't you see the way this thing just is on my body? But truly, real talk, it wasn't the real thing. Because it was a lot of gum and SDS, as opposed to that fine hand finish bespoke method in which they do. Which makes their suits sometimes, it looks like it can last forever. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when you wear it, the feeling on your body is way different from when you wear what we do. What we do looks really nice, but
is it comfortable?
When you wear it, the feeling is just different. It's different. So these people have mastered it. They've been doing this thing for years.
Mm.
And you now want to come and say you want to do this. I'm not... If you want to, you know, keep at it, that's okay. But our own is our own.
Mm.
Our own is, it's watch what's about to happen in Africa. Just watch.
Amazing stuff. Thank you. So, we've learned so much about your journey from the inception and making use of your gifts. You've taken us through the journey of some of the good things that have happened, the success stories, some of the challenges that you've overcome. And then you've also walked us through just some key gems on how we can successfully own a fashion business. So, everything that you shared, this is all priceless, to be honest. So from Bridging the Gap, we just want to express our gratitude and say thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be in touch and we hope to work with you in the future.
I hope so too.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ogumoye.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.